This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is 8:30 in the evening. You're with Lynn and Xiaoning, and we are providing you updates and analysis throughout this evening and now night about the political changes that are happening in the country. So just to say that so far we've heard from Tee Lian Ker, who's the vice president of MCA. We've also heard from Zaido Baharudin, a researcher at Sent GPS, and Dr. Bridget Welsh, a political analyst. And if you would like to revisit any of those interviews, they will be up on our site and app shortly. Now we are going to get some legal commentary on what's going on. On the line with us is Professor Nick Ahmad Kamal, Nick Mahmud, Professor of Law at International Islamic University. Prof, welcome to the show.
Hello, hi.
What were your immediate reaction to the happenings this afternoon?
I think many people are a bit taken by surprise when Tan Sri Muhyiddin was announced to be the next Prime Minister. But again, I think we are looking back from Friday night, where there was a meeting among the presidents of the parties under Pakatan Harapan. And from then on, I think we have got a lot of happenings after that Saturday and Sunday and the weeks so far. I mean, in the end, I think the focus was on the 222 wise men, you know, members of parliament. And finally, the young Dipton Agong has decided to appoint. I was told that when I read the news, I think it was 114 seats that actually made the majority at Dewan Rakyat to entitle Tan Sri Muhyiddin to be appointed as the new prime minister. But looking at the power of the Yang Tuan Agong, it's very clear in the constitution that the Yang Tuan Agong will appoint a person whom he thinks will command the majority support of the members of the Dewan Rakyat, which is 222, that will be 112. Now we have 114 of the majority, so therefore, in that sense, it was clear as far as the Yang Tuan Agong is concerned.
And under this, under our constitution, can this decision actually be challenged by Pakatan Harapan now?
We have yet to see any case at the federal level, but there are many cases at the state level in Sarawak in 1966, and a few cases in Sabah in the 80s and the 90s, okay, where decisions on the appointment of chief minister was challenged in court. And I think the issue was surrounding how, first and foremost, how this majority could be assessed. Is it in the House or outside the House? Apparently that the highest court of the country has decided in one case it's not necessarily be in inside the House. And we have seen also the case of Perak recently, where it was also decided in the same way. So in other words, there were cases at the state level, but we have yet to see a case at the federal level. But whether it can be challenged in court, the power of the Yang Dipton Agong is based on the constitutional provisions. So in that sense, the power of the exercise by the king should be based on what has been provided by the constitution. So in that light, there's a possibility of challenging the decision made by Dipton Agong on the basis of whether the number of seats that one particular party or group of parties has acquired the majority or not. That could also be a question that can be challenged. But as far as the discretion of the Yang Dipton Agong is concerned, that is in a way difficult to be challenged on the ground that he would be exercising based, or the majesty is exercising based on what the majesty has received as far as number of the number of support is concerned. But the way this was presented, or the number was presented, could also be challenged on the ground that it would be sufficient or not sufficient, which I think the PH was now challenging that the numbers was not sufficient. They had the sufficient numbers, so that there are issues that can be presented in court to be determined by the court of law.
And what kind of precedent does this set for the future? Would it impact the meaningfulness of elections moving forward?
Now, for the past few days, we have seen new things that has been raised as far as the constitution is concerned. For example, the issue of the appointment of the interim prime minister and the power of the interim prime minister. Okay, so when the prime minister had said to be has lost the prime minister attended his resignation and the cabinet also resigned. But after that, the former prime minister was appointed as an interim prime minister. That raises many constitutional questions as well, whether there is such a position under the constitution, because the constitution is silent on that. So, and then, of course, we have these interviews conducted by His Majesty Yang Tuan Agong at the Istana Negara to determine which to determine the support of the members of parliament, whether which person that they support, are they supporting a dissolution of the house. So this is something which is perhaps precedent as far as the constitution is concerned. These things are not put in the constitution clearly, so therefore there's a lot of new practices that require perhaps some determination whether this is lawful or unlawful. Okay, that is one thing. But your question is pertaining to whether there would be this kind of precedent, and what about the free election that we had in 2018, whether that had any meaning or not. I still feel that election or general election is the most important process to determine who would then lead the country. But the scenario after that, you know, where loss of confidence would arise, where members of parliament jump parties, jump support from one bloc to another, this that's something that happened that cannot be, you know, cannot stop that thing from happening. But then again, you have to take all this situation in the light of the existing provision of the constitutions. And of course, one would argue that, well, you know, after you have been properly elected and, you know, but suddenly you are changing your tune, you are supporting those who lost in the election. So this is, perhaps it is not unconstitutional to do that. But then again, political scientists will say that this is backdoor government. You know, this is something that is not morally right. So again, what is morally wrong may not be constitutionally incorrect or constitutionally wrong. So these are issues that I think ordinary people like us would have to determine, and can only determine that in the ballot box if there is going to be another dissolution of parliament.
And Professor, if we look forward to 9 March, right, when parliament reconvenes, can the opposition actually push for a vote of no confidence? I mean, who gets final say on whether that happens or not?
Okay, the line of cases that decided since 1996 have shown that the vote of no confidence need not be tabled or then decided in the House itself. It can be decided outside the House based on, say, SD, for example. This is what we have seen, okay, that case in Perak, for example, case in Sabah. So, in other words, if there is going to be a vote of no confidence, I personally feel that there's no necessity to wait until 9th of March. But definitely 9th of March will be the determining day for the new government, the new prime minister, and of course the opposition will then, of course, try their way in to find ways to say that the new government is not properly elected, not properly selected, and that there is, in fact, not enough majority in parliament. But then again, like I said, it can even happen before 9 of September. That's my feeling.
And, Prof, before we move on, I did want to just ask about SD, statutory declarations, right? We've been hearing this phrase, this little two words used a lot. They're in the headlines, they're in the articles. Can you talk to us about what it actually is and, you know, what kind of legal status it has?
When you sign SD, you are saying that you are saying certain thing which you support and you are saying that this is my statement and which I support and which I will say truthfully, okay, and that there's no one else who's actually forced me to do this. This is a voluntary statement saying certain things. So as far as the support is concerned for an individual for the purpose of election as a prime minister, then the signatory will be saying that I support this person to become the prime minister, and I signed this declaration without any force, without any influence whatsoever. That's what you call the voluntary acceptance of a particular thing. I think that is HSD. So this is actually to show in a form of, say, legal document that one is actually supporting someone else for the purpose of election of the prime minister. That's all, I think. Yeah. Mm.
And, you know, I want to ask you about the trials against our former Prime Minister Dato' Sri Najib and other former government officials are still ongoing. But in the meantime, we do know that our Chief Prosecutor, Tommy Thomas, resigned yesterday. Would this affect the proceedings of the trial?
Now, of course, Mr. Tommy Thomas has been the one who is, sort of coordinating the lawyers that prosecute those celebrated cases. But the process is now in court. I believe it will continue until the end because it's already in the court, right? And these are very serious cases, I think, which I do not think even the new government would be even thinking of, stopping or ending the prosecution, which I think that would definitely will be jeopardizing the credibility of the new government if they choose to say, for example, not to continue the prosecution. But I believe the prosecution will continue as it's already in court. The evidence already be presented. The defense already given their testimonies, and now they're still ongoing of the defense testimony. So in that respect, it's going to be continued until the end.
Prof, thank you very much for speaking with us.
Yes, thank you. Yeah.
You just heard there from Professor Nick Ahmad Kamal, Nick Mahmood, a professor of law at the International Islamic University, giving us a legal take on this. We are probably going to be speaking to lawyers throughout the night as well, along with political analysts. We know for sure that at 9 o'clock after the news, we're going to be speaking with Ali Salman, who is the CEO at the Institute of Democracy and Economic Affairs, or IDEAS. In the meantime, if you have questions, comments, anything you'd like to share, our lines are open. You can WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899 and tweet us at BFM Radio.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.